Okay, I'm very excited for tonight because we are having our Let's Go Missions feedback service tonight. Yay! The Lord really has been wonderful for us in this June, July holidays. We've sent four different teams to different nations, and we're so excited to share the Lord's goodness tonight. I just want to say that for the new visitors, Shofar is really known. We are a church that likes to go to the nations. I mean, that is one of the things that we do in our church, but not only in our church, that the Bible tells us. And in this June, July, we've sent more than 300, 400 students or people to nations, not only Shofar Bloemfontein, but Stellenbosch, in over more than 25 nations. So we were busy this holiday, amen? Lots of people got saved, lots of healings, lots of praise the Lord for that, amen? And we just want to come tonight. It's not about... We want to give God the glory. Amen. We want to give Him the glory for what He has done in our midst. We really have seen and bear witness of His power and of His love for the lost. So I hope you are excited and open your heart, and that the Lord will stir you also in your heart if you haven't gone on missions. Okay. So I'm going to invite the first team. It was Haynes was the leader. They went to Mozambique. First, they're going to watch a video, and after that, they will share testimonies about their mission trips.
Team can come forward. So we went to Mozambique. We were the first team to go there, and this time before we went, God laid a scripture on our hearts. He gave us the scripture that to go and prepare the way of the Lord in northern Mozambique. And it was so cool. Me and Yaki were praying, and then God confirmed, right, you should go. And it was so cool when we got there. God took us on a journey where we had an initial speed bump on the mission, but God, we were in the end, God, why? Why did this happen? And after that, God has just showed us in retrospect exactly what His plans were with that. And then the second part of the mission is primarily that which was on the video clip right now, in which God really showed us, but this is exactly what I wanted you to come and do. is to come and prepare the way of the Lord in northern Mozambique. And we linked up with the Assemblies of God Church in Mozambique. And our Pastor Narciso, you saw him in the video clip. We stayed at his house. He said, come and camp in my backyard. And it was so blessed. We made food with him, had communion with him. And he had his birthday there while his wife was all the way back in Maputo. So he wasn't alone on his birthday. And God really just guided us to really prepare the way of the Lord in northern Mozambique, as this was primarily an intercession mission. And before two of the other team members testify, I want to share just the testimony of that little video clip that you saw, where we sing this last part of the video, where we sing in a little office. What happened there was we were feeling on our hearts while we were praying for the city of Pemba that we need to go to a high place somewhere in order to pray over the city. And we asked the pastor, is there somewhere we can go that we can go and pray? We want to pray from a high place to pray over the city. And then he said, yes, there's a place that he knows of. And he's going to phone that pastor and ask if we can go there. So he phoned up the pastor. And then we went there. We met the pastor whose church this was on the hill. It's so cool. He has a church on the hill and overlooking a part of Pemba. And we started praying there. He said, here's my office. You can pray here for as long as you like. He just evacuated his office and said, go. In the end, we were there for 4 hours praying over Pemba and Mozambique, praying for every province, every capital city, for Pemba itself. God, everything that he showed us in advance before the time, we prayed over the city and declared over the city right there. And just to top it all off, when we, just before we left, the pastor whose church this was that we used, in whose office we prayed, came to us. He said, earlier this year, he was dreaming. And in the dream, a foreigner phoned him. And when the foreigner spoke to him in the dream over the phone, he said, in the month of June, you will be receiving people from abroad coming to your place. And within the first week of June, we rocked up there and said, can we pray in your office? So it's just so cool to see how God plans and confirms everything.
The highlight for me was definitely the Friday of the mission when we were praying, and really that 4 hours felt like just 5 minutes, because it was just so under the Spirit's leading and guidance. We had family camp this weekend, and unfortunately I wasn't able to attend, but at last year's family camp I received the word that that someone said that I will go to nations and prophesy over nations and stuff. And then I thought, yo, maybe in 30 years' time, maybe when I'm really mature, in 30 years' time, then I'll do that. And then within literally less than a year, the Lord had sent us. And the part I want to share is just about knowing God's exact plan and His exact will and what He commanded you and sent you to do. And it was just our experience on this mission that every time when we were really doing exactly what He sent us to do and praying and interceding, there was such fruit, there was such breakthrough. And there was constantly the temptation to be drawn into things that are also godly and also look right, but it's not the specific thing that He sent us to do. For example, the wonderful pastor, the wonderful local pastor, asked us, so do you want to do a bit of door-to-door event and whatever, and sort of, do you want to do anything that looks like a proper mission at any stage? And then, so there's constantly that kind of pressure, but because the Lord sent us to prepare the way, when we did that, there was really such fruit. And I just want to encourage you, as many people are going to share testimonies tonight, do not feel sort of ashamed that I'm not doing what that person is doing. Because even while we just at home here in Bloemfontein, studying or at home with your family, you need to know exactly what God is expecting of you and what He's leading you into. And that's where the real blessing and the real fruit and the real joy of serving the Lord also lies.
Yes, I just also want to testify of the power that we just experienced while worshiping and singing. As we knew that this was more an intercession mission and a like a praying and a proclaiming over the and preparing the way for other people to be able to come and really spread the gospel. We were interceding a lot, but in our times of worship, we really just encountered the presence of God. Because of our first part of the mission not being such a pleasant experience, we were dealing with many things in the second part of the mission, and there would be like a bit of a burden on the team. And then every time, the moment we start singing, the moment we start just lifting the name of Jesus above what we are feeling, there would just be such a release and such a joy over the whole team. And God just really took us also to a place of not needing songs, like start the song, end the song, start the next song, end the next song, but just being able to sing out of what is happening in the Spirit and prophesying as you are singing. And that's really just my heart as well for all of us, to be able to really have a lifestyle of singing to God and just singing. It doesn't matter how your voice sounds. So that was really such a blessing, to just have the liberty to sing in front of each other and not be ashamed of how we sound, but just knowing that we're proclaiming something. At one stage we were walking in the street, and just I was walking in front with the guitar, and then the four of us were just walking, and we were just singing. And then I think we looked a bit weird, but we looked weird the whole mission. But it was just so powerful to just know that this worship is going up in the streets of Pemba, and to if you understand the power that is in that, like how it really breaks the yokes over the city as we are walking in the streets, proclaiming the name of Jesus and just worshiping and lifting His name up high. And then the second word that stands out for me in this mission is just the power of obedience. Doing what God told you to do. And it just adds to what Yanni's saying. But many times you have this picture in your mind of what it should look like. And God really convicted me of a lust that I have for seeing the supernatural. It's a lustful desire to see God's hand, but not to meet His heart. And God just, in this mission, this was what He wanted to do with us. And obviously, it's awesome if God does miracles. It's His heart. It's what Jesus did all the time. But I think God just wanted to check our hearts. Like, He asked me on the mission, Yanni, at the end of this mission, what would you need me to do for you to say that this was a successful mission? What would be what's the requirement for you to say this mission was successful? Do you need people to come to salvation? Do you need people to get healed? What do you need to see? Would it be enough for you just to be obedient to what I told you to do? Would you fly thousands of kilometers to go and pray and to speak the word of God? Would that be enough? And that is what I want to encourage you. And I think it's a blessing that we can testify now as you are listening to all the testimonies. Just remember that all of us operated in the obedience that God gave to every team. And that in your life as well, just operate in the obedience that God gives you. And if you are faithful with a little, God will trust you with a many. So that is just what stands out for me. All glory to God. He was so amazing to us in this mission.
Let's just pray and thank the Lord for what you've done. Lord Jesus, we come tonight just to give you glory for what you have done in this team. And also in Pemba and through this team ministry in Pemba, Lord. Thank you that your word has gone forth, Lord. And the proclamation and the declarations, Father, has been heard and it has been gone up to you, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Tonight we come and give you glory, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have sent us to Pemba. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right. The next team is the Karoo. We sent also a team to the Karoo, so if Ferdinand can come up, he was the team leader there for the Karoo. And first we're gonna watch the video and then the team can testify.
Said was three, solely I guaranteed. Passing right in front of me, my Sunday greed. I'll be here until it's right. Could be here till Sunday night. Holy roller, see me rise. I for a night. Stand tall, I'm a believer, reaching for all I had known. Going along the straight and road. When the fever's taking hold, I'm feeling bold. Risking chance to take what's mine. Deviating from the line. Losing sight. Losing time, I lose my mind. Stand tall, I'm a believer. Wishing for the words to carry on blood. I've got the blood. I've got the blood.
What can wash away our sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make us whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can heal our broken land?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What unites us hand in hand?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is the flow
that
Hello. Yes, we went to Graafrenet and Burgersdorp this holiday, and it was very nice. Aaron's and Kylie's going to testify so they can come forward. And then, yeah, what was nice for me was when we were in Burgersdorp, just the centrality of the gospel. Because when we came there, they accepted us like family, the people in Burgersdorp, and we just immediately connected with them like they were our family and they were our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that was very nice. Just the centrality of the gospel when we came there. They accepted us immediately. And then just as the week went on, we can see just in the Bible, like the equipping of the saints that happened. Like they equipped us and we equipped them. And just by teaching and edifying each other and just also the fellowship that happened. And then as the week passed, we went door to door. And so it was just cool to see in Burgersdorp how the gospel was central and how the gospel just played out in every facet of our lives without us trying it. And how God's hand was just on us the whole time. So Aaron is going to go first.
Yo, the word that came up for me in Burgersdorp was just the word joy. Literally, those kids there, the youth at Leben der Woord was the church's name. Just amazing. They're so full of joy, and the way they praise God is not just praying to Him or singing to Him, but dancing for the Lord. And that was a lot different from what we used to. Like, everyone's dancing everywhere, like in circles. And you're so tired after an hour, you just want to sit down. But they're just going for it, like just praising the Lord constantly. And it was just amazing seeing that. Yeah, and just also how they just received the word. Like, with our teachings, we also gave teachings each day. We were 2 days in Burgersdorp. And we were literally busy for 3 hours. And they're just sitting and listening with full attention. They just want more and more and more. So I can just testify that. They're really young, but they just want to know the Lord more and more. And for me, just also a personal testimony from me, just before I went on a mission, I also got word that I need to go on a mission. I need to do something for the Lord. And it was really amazing. Like, wow. And the first idea was Uganda, like anywhere except South Africa, for some reason. And then the Lord just showed me that I need to be here. I need to do something with our country, the people of our country. And something I saw on this mission was the need for the Lord in our own country. And it's so important that we reach out to them. And we had the privilege of doing that as a team. And I can just testify of people that literally they've lost so much in their lives. to alcoholism, to drugs, whatever it was, but still they know the Lord is there. They holding on to him, and they just need someone to be there for them and to show the way. And we could have been a part of that, a small part, but it was amazing. So yeah, I just want to testify about that. Like, there's people in our country who's also in need, not just overseas. So if you go on a mission here, be grateful for it. Be excited. Be really excited because it's amazing. And in Crawfordnet, we also worked with the new chauffeur there now. And with Fani, he's in charge of it now. Just amazing people also just receiving us. And the whole week just felt like you're always busy teaching and you're praying. We also had the privilege of in Crawfordnet, we prayed each morning at an entrance of Crawfordnet. There was three entrances, and each morning we went just to pray and just to take back what is the Lord, or what belongs to the Lord. And at one point, I think it's on the second day, we just received word. I just want to read this. Can you just? It's from Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Sorry. That's the last book after Revelations. Well, here it is. It says, "And the name of the city from that time on shall be the Lord is there." And that was just mind-boggling. Like, the Lord just came and told us that this is his city now. He's going to take back what is his. Yeah, that's all the only thing I wanted to testify for Crawfordnet. It's been amazing. Yeah.
Okay, guys, so sure, going to the Dikaroa, you know, as an English girl, so you know how everyone says you go to like Lesotho or something and the culture is so different. Well, guys, in the Karoo, the culture was different for me because I had to speak Afrikaans so much. And I'm really, really praying that those people did get the word because I hope I carried it across well enough. But praise the Lord, he helped me get through the week, and wow, was it an amazing week. First of all, at Burgersdorp, guys, those people, the passion in those people, wow. The way they just praise the Lord, like honestly, everyone's just dancing and everyone's moving around and everyone has these little dances, they have these little moves. We were being taught the moves. And it was so, like Aaron said, the joy in that place was so tangible. It was so beautiful how people could just be so free and it was beautiful. And just how the word trust throughout the week really just stood out to me. And specifically with trust, people would come up for altar calls and trust so much for something. Like this one girl came and she said, "My mom has TB, my brother has TB, pray for them, I want them to be healed." And just that beautiful trust of how much they know and they can trust the Lord. They can just completely say, "I know that the Lord will be able to heal this." That was beautiful to me. And then another thing was we went door to door, which is also very challenging because, I mean, being English, you have to speak Afrikaans to everyone. I mean, it wasn't such a big deal. I mean, my boss Afrikaans, mom. In our fault. But anyway, like just going door to door and having to speak to everyone. This one time I just finished praying for another lady who was sitting outside just on the grass. And she was trusting for healing, and I prayed for her hip to be healed and all of that. And then we'd been finished praying, and then we were about to leave, and the girls I was with, they were leading us around the area we had as a group of about four to pray for. And those girls said, no, that area, we don't have to pray for them, they're saved. And that struck me. But then we carried on walking, and then there was this big opening of grass, this field. And then I just looked across and I just saw a guy going inside one of the houses. And I just felt like, yo, the Lord pressed me in my heart, go and pray for him. He needs prayer. So I went and I walked up and I walked up to his door. He was already sitting down on the couch and everything. I said, "Sir, could I please pray for you? I really felt like the Lord said I must pray for you." And he got up and he was like, "Yes, I'd love you to pray for me." And then we went outside and I prayed for him. And while I was praying, I just felt... He asked me to pray for a job because he needs a job. And his name is Stoney. What a classic guy. we ended up just praying, and then I just felt the Lord saying, wow, He needs to have the word excited again. He needs to have the word really just come alive to him again. And right there, I just felt, okay, well, Stoney, would you like me to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes, I'd love that. And then I just prayed for him. I prayed for him. And after that, I said, well, do you mind praying quickly? And then we can just thank the Lord for the beautiful gift he's given you now. And then he started praying and he said, Lord, thank you so much for this person you've sent to me today, because I prayed for her this morning. I prayed for someone to come this morning, and I was hoping so much, and I was trusting you, Lord, that someone would come. And that was such a beautiful confirmation that the Lord is so, you can trust him so much, because Stoney trusted the Lord to send someone. And he could have sent anyone else. I'm not taking any credit for that. I just walked up to his house. He could have told anyone else for that. But wow, just the trust in the Lord was incredible to me. That each and every one of those people could really just think, wow, I really can just hand over everything and just thank you. And then, that was incredible. And then after the mission, Carlo, one of the guys that were part of the team, I just asked him, will you please go back and just find out how Stoney's doing? And the amazing thing was that Carlo is now walking a road with Stoney, and he's teaching him what does it mean to be discipled, and what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so it was a follow-up, and I just felt, if my entire mission was just to speak to Stoney, I would have been completely satisfied. And it was just so beautiful how the Lord can take something as small as looking across a field and seeing a guy going to the house and just using that for answering a prayer. I just, the Lord is incredible. Praise him.
Yeah. Amen. Let's pray and just thank the Lord for also. Lord, thank you for what you've done in the Karoo, Lord, and that you've sent this team, Lord, to equip the saints, Lord. And thank you for Stoney also, Lord. Thank you for this testimonies that has been shared tonight, Lord, and it ultimately gives you the glory. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness that has been revealed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right, next, let's go, Mozem.
Creating one God, oh. Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Guys, yeah, so may you all come. Everybody can come. Yeah, we were also very blessed, and the Lord really, from the first day, actually, we had a program. We were supposed to go to 14 schools and 11 prisons, and when we got there, the church we worked with, they told us no. They felt on their heart we have to go to four churches in the bush. So our whole program changed. But yeah, that was so cool. Just how the Lord really wanted us to do that specifically. So some of the people are just gonna quickly kind of share.
Ek's baie jammer, maar ek gaan 'n bietjie Afrikaans praat. Want ek dink julle gaan my verstaan as ek Engels praat nie. So as julle enige vragies het, julle kan my kom vra na die tyd. Ek gaan 'n bietjie vir julle vertel toe ons in Shai Shai was. Het ons regtig, ek het tot 'n voorreg gehad om 'n bietjie door te doen. Ons het by een huis aangekom waar mama en die dochter is, en die dochter was so diep in die 20, 30 amper, en toe so aankom, toe kon ons rarig sien, sy is rarig, sy het nie emosie nie, sy het baie af, en baie, ek kan amper sê, depressed, en ons het rarig gevoel, joh, ons met, bid, ons vertrouw rarig die Here, dat hy op sy tyd sal deurkom voor, net om freedom te kon hê, en dit wat sy voel, die wereld voor rarig vasthou, en vasttrek, en ons het voor gebid, en ons het ons ervaar, ons het nie rarig iets ervaar, toe ons het nou voor gebid het nie, ons het rarig Here vertrouw vir, dat sy kan sal kom vir die aand vir Jesus film, en toe op die einde, toe kyk ons of hulle daar is, en hulle is toe daar, toe Jesus film klaar is, toe ervaar ek het, soos ek wil graag na toe gaan, op enige manier moet al communikeer, het ek het besef, ons het rarig ontspan het gevoel, Galasiërs 5 vers 13, dat ons rarig net gaan serve in love, en ek loop toe net na toe, maar sy sit so ver achter in die hoek, en ek ervaar net soos ek moet lewe oor haar spreek, en soos net haar lief hê, en net soos ons vanaand toe gesing het, van haar thuis te see dat the Lord is good, en ek het ervaar soos dat in haar situasie, waar ek net vir haar kon liefde gee, het ons die morning into dancing gebring, waar ek het met haar kon begin dans, en haar net soos vastdruk, en haar net lief hê, het ek het besef soos, die Here daar af my revelation, soos Alistair vanoggend net so mooi kon vertel het van revelation, oor wie Jesus is, en net deur liefde te wees vir die mense daar wat rarig vasgedruk is in dinge wat hulle nie in hulle lewe al ooit gekry het nie, affirmation in hulle lewe gekry het nie, en ewe skielik het sy net begin, sy net heavy begin huil, en ek was net soos ongelooflik overwhelmed met soos die Godse grootheid. Ek dink ek het my hele brein het gebreek, ek het besef soos, ek dink ons ervaar liefde so in, by ons huis is so makkelijk, maar daar was dit nie eintlik vir ons so, joh, wat sy elke dag kon ervaar nie. En dan wil ek het nog ietsie deel. Toe ons in Maputo was, was ons by so wit kerk. Weet jy dominee se naam nou? Ja. Pastoor Tivani. En ons daar is baie kindertjies en ek is maar baie mal oor kinders en ek weet ons mag nie reg in die diens met hulle baie kommunikeer of so nie en ek ervaar toe net so toe ons sing, ek gaan toe hardloop maar net na die kind toe en ek tel hom net so op en ons praise and worship toe en ek besef toe die kleintjie word so rustig en ek kyk net toe wat hy doen en ek sien in sy oogies is toe en hy steek sy hande so op en net daai prentjie was my so mooi om te kan besef wat hy kyk so op na sy mama en papa, hoe hulle ook Jesus love, want hulle mama en papa is in die kerk en hulle sing daarvoor. En dit was my net so mooi voorbeeld van hoe ons na God moet in awe sit en net kyk wat hy in elke situasie wat ons te doen het elke dag, hoe ons besef hoe hy dit sou hanteer het en soos 'n Mary by Jesus se voete te kan sit en net in awe wees vir wie hy is. Ja, so ek dink my revelation het regtig verander oor wie God is in die klein dingetjies.
Okay, I just want to share, I'm a very practical and like logical person, so every time I heard about someone like being healed or manifestations or I like kind of believed it with my head but never truly with my heart. And so he saw like that woman being healed. While she was like, while we were busy praying for her and stuff, she just lifted up her thumbs and like she was fine. She stood up and she started dancing and praising and worshiping. And I was quiet, like, how is this possible? This isn't supposed to happen, like, medically, this never happens. And at that moment, I realized, like, God just opened my eyes to see Him and to, like, start believing, like, He is there, even though you can't see Him. He's always there, and, like, that just opened my heart completely.
Okay, yeah, like Imke said, there was, like, so many healings on this mission, and, yeah, my brain het ook gebreek. At the one village, Waldemere, it was the afternoon and we came there the morning and we set up camp and everybody was tired and was like, yo, okay, let's just chill out until we go on the next thing. And then Ed comes up and he's like, yeah, you have to come with me. And we go in and I didn't know what we were going to do. And there were three of us girls in the room and they took us inside one of the houses. There was this lady. She had malaria, but like her fever was, she was so hot, she couldn't touch her forehead. Like it burnt my hand too much. And she was sitting wrapped in this duvet and like shaking with fever. So we laid our hands on her and started praying. And as we were praying, like in a matter of minutes, you could feel the heat just flowing out of her. And then she stopped us and she said, no, but I'm fine now. And then I just felt on my heart to, because I'd gone in with this attitude of, you now I really have to pray for this woman and all I want to do is sleep and it's hot and it's not like any. And then she got healed and I was like, wow, we need to thank God for this. And then in this moment, three of us girls just totally broke down and started crying because God doesn't need to use us. Like it wasn't my hands on that woman that made her fever go away. He didn't need for me to do that. But he knew that I needed to put my hands on her. And just that, realizing that God wanted to make me part of that miracle just overwhelmed me so much. So, your two-in-one testimony of just supernatural healing. And then also, I'm this small, but God makes us part of something this huge. And the invitation is there for each one of us to go and lay our hands on people and just pray for the sick and bind up the brokenhearted. So, I guess that's my testimony.
Yo, guys, I just want to encourage you that beforehand, like, I was thinking, like, well, I'm so excited for Mozam, but we are a very young team. None of us have been, like, walking the journey so far. But the thing is, the Lord uses you just as you are, and He takes everything that is inside of you and turns you to the glory of Him. And I can really testify with the team, a lot of them beforehand felt like, no, but we're not like these heavy spiritual people and whatever. And then just how we can just give God all the glory, because none of this came out of our own heads or our own knowledge about how to do missions and stuff. Just also just a small, very practical thing, how God just blessed us is our, so we were in the bush, so there's no electricity, so we're showing the Jesus film at another place, but it's about an hour's drive from where we stay. And Richard, he's our science, he was our technician guy. And he comes to me, he's like, so the generator, the adapter cable, we forgot it back home. And also the power cord for the projector. And I'm like, oh, say. And I was like, okay, but it's okay. We will pray. So the generator, like, it needs an adapter, a special adapter thing. So you can plug the South African plug in. Okay, you guys understand. So now I'm like, okay, we're praying and everything. I'm walking to the bus and I'm like, okay, God, you have to just do a miracle now. And I take my bag and I open my bag. And inside my bag, there's a small adapter and there's a kettle cord, a power cord inside my bag where my books and my passport and stuff like that is. So it's just like how God really makes miracles happen, even in the practical things. You know. So I just want to give God all the glory.
Yes, just also thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. And thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for every testimony, for every healing, Lord, for every where your power was revealed, Lord Jesus. And tonight, Lord, we want to come back, Lord, to you, to your cross, and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in this team, Lord. Thank you for the way that you've used them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the seed that has been sown in Mozambique, Lord. And we pray that that seed will come up in Jesus' name, Lord. May you go and water it. Thank you, Father. We love you. Amen.
Just want to say something small. Please, afterwards, come speak to every mission team that has went. Ask them, there's a lot more to tell and a lot more stories. Even if you don't know the people, please, really, we have so much. We can't keep our testimonies to ourselves. We have to share.
Hallelujah. Are you guys still awake? Are you cold? Maybe you must just quickly give a hug to someone, then it's the last team. Okay, let's watch the video for the last team. Let's go, Malawi.
Give me peace, give me like freedom. I'm free right now. I'm feeling bad. Everything is all light. And I'm a normal person, as you can see me.
Thank you. What do you want to say to the people in South Africa?
I just want to encourage them that we should love God. God is wonderful. God is possible in all things. Don't cry, no more cry. God is wonderful. Can do anything in your life.
Okay. I'm Pastor Royal Joshua Bitson Kandawire. When I attended this meeting, I saw the presence of God manifesting upon each and every one of us. We had a very good, powerful teaching with a lot of revelations. So I learned a lot, and it has really changed my life. It's good to learn always. Always have to learn. And God will always bless you. So we thank God for the team from South Africa, the Let's Go Malawi, who came to teach us. We have really been blessed,
amen,
to have them here.
Yes.
Thank you.
What is your message for the people in South Africa?
The message for the people in South Africa is that the harvest here in Malawi and in Africa is plenty. Laborers are few. And we are inviting you people from South Africa to come.
Yeah, we are so excited to have the Let's Go Malawi team too come to Malawi. Our expectations are high. We really believe God is going to minister to us. Yeah, because we believe God has sent the team for a purpose and reason. So most welcome, everybody. Welcome home, Malawi.
Timbuktu!
Always come and help us, minister to us, and the Lord will bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. So there you see, you saw in the church where the people went like this. They said, then Pastor James says, wave Jesus, wave Jesus. So let the team please come up, guys. So as you saw, we went to Malawi and it was really wonderful. I shared a lot also. But it is encouraging for us what the Lord has done there in Malawi. We are so excited because there's a show from Malawi also now. And so we are excited for what the Lord is doing. Come closer. And I'm just going to give opportunity for the team now to share also.
Ek gaan 'n bietjie Afrikaans praat. In die begin van die mission is dit so 'n bietjie half beteef ek moet gaan nie. Ek skryf eksamen in die middel van die mission en toe kom die Here net soos en toe sê vir my of toe skuif hy eers die eksamen na nou donderdag toe wat verby was. So dis dit een deur wat oopgegaan het en dis ek nog steeds half ek wil nie gaan, ek sê regtig voor hier die Here soek my nie nou. En toe karring Jacobus die hele tyd met my en you bly my WhatsApp en sê kom Jackie, ons kort jou en ek sê so 'n week voor die tyd toe gaan ek na Jacobus toe en toe begin ons net soos bid en toe bring die Here hierdie soos ek het dit soos begin huil en goed en toe sê die Here net soos jy moet nou gaan en terwyl ons bid sê ek so Here ek is oop, ek is reg hiervoor, ek gaan nou maar net gaan, jy moet nou regtig net in my werk en goed en en toe, op die mission ook, soos, toe ervaar ek ook net soos, die Here wil net hê, ons moet net soos oorgee, ons baie keer dan probeer sy hart met ons eie krag dinge doen, en dan soos alles uitbeplan die hele dag, en dan kom jy by die kerk, en dan het hulle hele ander plan met jou, so, die Here wil net soos hê, ons moet net soos, just go with the flow, just float through, en dan doen net wat hy wil hê, so ja, en allemaal wat soos, baie keer dink nie, ek is nog nie reg vir mission, soos, just go, soos, ja, die Here gaan jou reg maak op pad, soos, al is dit 'n 3-dae drive, so ja, dankie.
Good evening everybody, I just also want to share about the generator, missions generator. That thing doesn't work here in South Africa, it will only work on a mission, but just want to share about that as well. We were standing at the shofers the day before we went, and Jacobus was just lank-chilled. He didn't care about the generator. And we went to the generator. And yes, we tried to start this thing like 30 times in South Africa. Not once. It just went in for a service. And Jacobus is like, no, don't worry. It's a missions generator. You'll see. And I'm walking around. I'm like, oh, hey, Jacobus, this thing, the Jesus film is part of this. It's a big part of our mission. And he just had amazing faith. And I thought, yo, we're going to have to dance or something in that time. And then the first place where we had to show the Jesus film in Mozambique, we went to a village outside Tete. And So the moment of truth came there, and we loaded out the generator, and the thing was there, and I walked from the bus. Everybody was setting up the screen and everything, and Jacobus was standing there at the generator, and he told us afterwards, he was like, Jesus, this is I'm giving you the power here because I'm not left to pray too long now. We have to show the film. It's in your hands. I can't do anything. And then I came from the bus and like, should we pray for the thing? And he's like, yes. And we just started praying for the thing. The first pool, not even a big pool. Jacobus just went like this. The generator goes and I'm like, oh wait, what's this? And it's just amazing how the Lord, like a lot of people can say, oh, healings, not healings, like a miracle or something. No, it's because the guy made a conscious decision. But this is a generator. The thing can't decide for itself just to start. So that was amazing just to see the Lord's power in anything that we do.
Amen. Before I want to speak, I just want us all to take off our hoodies. Okay, just gonna fix my hair quickly. This comb over is wild. So the people in Malawi, the pastor, they blessed us with these. They just like made it. They didn't even like check our size or anything. They just made us like the girls' dresses and our shirts. So it's an amazing blessing, but I'm not gonna be talking about that. I just wanted you guys to see it because it's pretty cool. These are our mission shirts. And they're all unique. It's quite cool, eh? So what I want to talk about is part of the video when you see us baptizing the people. On our last day of ministry, we were in Salima, small little village, church under the tree, no electricity, you pump water out of a well. And it was our last day of ministry. And we were all a bit tired, all of it. Yeah, you're quite tired at the end of a mission. And I prepared this teaching right before, like before we even went on the mission to teach baptism. And I never got a chance the whole way in the mission. I was like, I thought I'm going to be teaching this everywhere we go. And I didn't teach it once. And the last day, I was the last person to teach and I taught baptism. And at the end, I'm like, so who wants to get baptized? And literally, the whole church put up their hand. I'm like, wait, this never happens at altar calls. What do you got? What's wrong? So we asked in the past, and then we asked the leaders of the church all sitting on chairs over here. And they said, no one in their church has been baptized because no one had been baptized prior to that. So they couldn't baptize each other because they hadn't been baptized. So, you know, you have to learn how to write before you can teach someone to write. So we were like, no, wait, that's going to change. And we knew the Lord's plan was for us to baptize them that day. So, sorry, Alistair, but we put 25 people in the quantum. The people were standing like on top of each other, but they were just like, so all the leaders of the church climbed into an 11-seater quantum and we drove on dirt roads to the lake. We were like 10 kilometers from the lake. Yeah. Singing all the way, or they were screaming in our ears rather. It was amazing. And we got there, it was just Jacobus and I because we had limited space, so that's why we had like a chesty on the GoPro. And we baptized 21 leaders that day, six of them being village chiefs. And yo, it was just so—it's so incredible. Like, I mean, I'm 22, Jacobus is 23, and we had the privilege of baptizing 21 people. I mean, it blew my mind just how they're so hungry for the Lord. There, it's like here you talk about baptism, and I'm like, no, I just want to do research for 5 years, then I'm gonna fix myself to the point where I'm like, there, then I'll get baptized. There's just like they heard about baptism. There's people to facilitate it. Let's do this, and we did. We baptized them. And it was just incredible when we drove back, we really prayed for a scripture and I just got this vision of, as like you pump water out of those wells, then it has like a little funnel where it streams out of. And it just, because there were six village chiefs, like people of that village usually follow the religion of their chief. And it looked like the water was just connecting from well to well in that whole village. And how it was just like how every well was just spreading out. And how the living waters were just spreading from village to village. And how revival was just breaking open in that whole village, in the whole Salima. And I really believe that God is going to do such huge things there. And he already did. I mean, he was doing and he is still doing every day massive things there. And we just went and equipped them. And on my way back, I really just got attacked from the devil. Like, I heard, like, but like, what was the point of this mission? I mean, we go to a country where there's probably like, let's say there's 10 million people, and we minister to probably 200. Let's just put it now. And then like the devil's like, yo, so what's that? You just ministered to 200 people. And then the Lord just came straight away and he was like, yo, you ministered to 200 people, but you equipped the saints with the same spirit that I have in you in South Africa. They have the spirit there now. And you equip them to baptize and they will baptize there. So like, it's just, although you might think you're going there and you're just praying, or you're going there and you're praying for one person, Kylie, you're stony. It's like God really just going to use anything, even just going, is just such a blessing to the Lord. So I really believe, like, don't ever let the devil lie to you and say you're not good enough to go on missions, or your work there was insufficient, because it wasn't. So yeah, that's all I want to say for myself.
Good evening, everyone. It was really difficult for me to pick a testimony. I want to agree with what Ed said. Come and speak to each of one of us. There's so many things that happened. I just felt there was something God really stirred in my heart from the start of the mission. On our first meeting, I saw, okay, we're just two girls and all the guys. We're probably going to get the food portfolio. Okay, and I'm really not good at making food. I'd rather just wash dishes, because you don't need to use your mind. You can just wash dishes and think of any other stuff. Any guys, and at the start of the mission, I went to Jacobus and I said, like, Jacobus, please help me. I don't know where to start or what. And Jacobus, no, man, we just go with the flow. It's chilled. And I was like, no, let's get a menu every day. Then we can know what we're going to eat. And Jacobus, no, we're just going to buy food and just make it how we want to. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then through the whole mission, I was the whole time stressed about it. Because I was like, what are we going to eat? And there's all the guys, like the one morning I made oats. I made like this much oats and just one of the guys ate. And I was like, okay, there's too much guys. There's not that much food. Any guys, and just also to give you a bit background, I was raised up in a really spirit-filled home, and my father he loves church, but he doesn't believe in the leadership and the way church is held. And the whole time through the whole mission, in my back of my mind, I had that thing of leadership and of submitting, and no, it's not right. Leadership in church is not right. And through the whole food portfolio thing, it was difficult for me to submit under Jacobus, because I was like, I want to do my own thing. I want to place my things in boxes. I want to have a menu. I want to know what to eat and what to do. And Jacobus is just going with the flow. And the whole time, it was a difficult struggling for me. And then one morning, God gave me Romans 13 and Hebrews 13. And yeah, the first one is about God appoints people in authority. And the second one is obey your leaders, because they are your watchmen and they are the people that looks after your soul. And that moment I realized, okay, I need to submit now. I need to step down and chill a bit, like, and just focus on what God wants to do. And then we went to Saliman, our last village. I also, at that stage, I was so irritated with all the leadership and all the guys that we need to submit and we need to say, do everything they say. We had an opportunity for people to pray for healing. And then there came one girl to me and she said she had like really bad dreams. And I said, okay, I'll pray for her. And while I was praying, she started manifesting, and it was the first time in my life that happened to me. I already saw people manifesting, but not me praying alone for someone. And I was totally freaked out, because I was like, Lord, I'm not spiritual enough to handle this situation. I don't know what to do. And I was like, Jacobus, come, Jacobus. And then Jacobus came, and we started praying, and we prayed in the spirit. And then Jacobus said, like, okay, Nick, one of us must take this now. Me or you. And then immediately in my back of my mind, I was like, oh my word, Jacobus, am I not doing this right? I can't. Now I need to submit again. And God just came to soften my heart in that situation and said, Anik, submit and just say to Jacobus, okay, it's fine. You can do it. And then that moment when I renewed my mind and swift my mind, Jacob said, Anik, you do it. You pray for the girl. And I was like, what? God is actually speaking through Jacobus to give me the opportunity to grow in that, to grow in a way of praying for someone that's manifesting. And through that, I realized that there's so many growth and protection and covering when I submit under leaders. And not just doing it out of a thing because I need to do good works, but out of the thing of to trust leaders and to do it out of a place of love. So that's your story.
Hello guys. So first of all, I just want to speak about the people of Malawi. They are honestly so amazing. They taught me so much. You go there and they have such a little bit. And you saw Unity on the video. She's a normal person. Anik and I shared a room with her when we were in Blantyre, the town. And it was just so amazing for me. She's like 19 years old. And she wakes up every morning at 5 o'clock. And then you just hear her. She starts praying out loud, proclaiming that God is good, God is faithful, God is wonderful. All of that, and it's just amazing. Then she goes and she works in a shop all day, from like 6 until 9 at night. And then she'll come back to her house and make us supper. And like, it's crazy. And then we say, Unity, can we help you? No, you must rest. Like, she wants to serve us. And that really like touched my heart so much. Just seeing how they want to serve us, and we need to be like that with each other as well. Like, they really taught me that, and also just being thankful. They go to church, and it's like in a crusty like building, and they've decorated it like and they've made it nice and everything, and they're so proud of it. And they go there and they don't have like a worship team or anything like that. And they'll go and they'll start worshiping, and church will go on for like 5 hours because everybody has a testimony to share. People, they're so just like thankful, for what God's doing in their lives. And that really made me, I really was convicted about that. I was like, shucks, like, we go to church and then we moan because, they didn't sing the song that I wanted them to sing. And then Alistair will ask, does anyone have a testimony to share? No one will come up. Like, it really, it wrecked my brain so much just to see that. And then, so that's one thing. And then also just throughout the mission, how God was guiding us. His Holy Spirit was leading us the whole way from day one. Day one, we went on door-to-door ministry, and Anik and I were together. And we didn't really know, like, what we were going to come across. And we were, like, told to go to this other section of the town. And we didn't even end up getting there because God, like, brought people to us. And, we met these two guys at first, and then they took us to his granny's house. Then we went out, and we met with a whole bunch of children. Then they were taking us to their parents, and we just went from one place to the next, and God was just guiding us there and at the places as well. And Nick and I would get the exact same word for the people that were there, and it was just, incredible, like, the whole time. And also we get there and, we ask Pastor James, what are we gonna do? And he's like, no, freedom seminar, and that's like liberty. It's like really exhausting, and we did it like so many times, but it was just amazing for me how, the whole time, the whole mission, we were laughing, like we were full of joy all the time, and like it was amazing for me. It was just such a miracle that we had all of that energy, and it's only from God. So, He'll carry you through, and like all of us, a few of us were feeling like inadequate before we went on the mission, and God really used us. So I just want to encourage you that God will use you, like we've said, no matter where you are, like in your relationship with Him. So,
Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's just also pray, Lord, we thank you for what you've done in Malawi, Lord. And we thank you for this testimony, Lord. And we give you the glory tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Right. I want just the band to come up tonight. We are almost finished with the service. While the band are coming up, I just want to put on my jersey. Yeah, guys, this testimonies is wonderful, and if we hear all the testimonies, it really, it makes me feel so, Lord, you're alive. Amen. If we look back at all the testimonies that has been shared tonight, Jesus is alive, and he's still working today the way that he worked 2,000 years ago. And the massive privilege that he gave us to be his ministers. Each one that was standing here tonight, we were ministers for God. We went to Malawi, we went to the Karoo, we went to Mozambique to be a minister of reconciliation. And God is inviting all of us to that place. I just want to read us one scripture in Ephesians. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I want us all to stand tonight. Just, guys, we went. Jesus has given us this gift of salvation. He gave us his life. He gave everything for us. And we have been equipped to go. And tonight, I don't want us to go out of this hall tonight not having that assurance in our life that this same Jesus that worked in so many people's lives in Malawi and Mozambique and in the Karoo, that same Jesus is in your heart, is in working in your life. I don't want us to walk out of this room and not knowing that I can also go to the nations, because that same power has been poured out in my heart. And I want to make an invitation tonight. Guys, you've heard the testimonies. You've seen it. You've seen it on the screen. You've seen how people that couldn't walk can walk. You've heard how people who were so entangled in bondages got delivered and set free. And that Jesus wants to save you, and he wants to be in your life also. When he came into my life changed. And I said, "Lord, here I am. I give everything to you." And I want us all just to close our eyes tonight. Just say, "Lord, I want to ask you if you have received this gift of salvation." Maybe you are here tonight and you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure of going to heaven, and there's this doubt in your heart. You see, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how will I enter into the kingdom? How can I enter?" And Jesus said to him, you need to be born by the Spirit. And I want to ask tonight, if you are unsure of your salvation, you're not sure if tonight you will go to heaven. There's just there where you're standing. I want you to raise your hand. But you won't miss this opportunity. Maybe you've been going to your whole, maybe in your whole life you've been going to church. You've been doing all the right things, but there was never a moment in your life where you said, "Lord Jesus, tonight I'm living for you. Tonight I'm giving my life completely to you. I remember when I was in Malawi, we were doing the Jesus film, and I did the altar call, and I used an example of sin that came in our life, and it bring bondage in our life, and I left it. It was black. It was black plastic that I had that represented sin. And the moment I lifted it up in the sky and spoke about it, my heart broke completely. Because I realized this amazing grace of Jesus Christ, that He removed all of the sin in my life, that I can know Him, that I can be close with Him.